Well, if you've been coming to church for the last little while, you know that we've been working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians, which is a letter that Paul wrote to a church in response to some questions that they had, it would seem. Questions about how to do life, questions about how to put these very different cultures together. And one of the biggest things this church was struggling with was worship and what worship looks like in the body of Christ. They had people that were Jews that came from very Jewish traditional backgrounds. They had people that were Gentiles that had incredibly different ways of worship. Idol worship was chaotic, involved all different kinds of things of the body. Whatever you felt like is what you did. And it changed constantly from one priest to the next as they were realigning how the gods wanted to be worshipped. How do you bring those from that kind of culture and those from this culture of one God and one way of worshiping and now find this new way of bringing it all together? And in some ways, it was going really well, and in a lot of other ways, it was not going well at all. And so Paul wrote this letter to answer some of the things that they're struggling with. Well, what about this? What does this look like? And we know as we've been going along, Paul's been dealing with some very big topics. Sexual immorality. What does it look like when people get drunk in our worship gatherings? Is that okay? How does this come together? Well, as we head into what we're looking at today, we've just come out of that conversation of what it means to share communion together, what the body is supposed to do with each other in that way. How to honor each other, how not to have some drunk and some not even having food because we bring everything together and we're supposed to share it together. Now he's going to move on to answer another question that they've asked. What does it look like to worship, to be moved by the Spirit? What does that look like in the body? What does that look like in our own personal lives? So we're going to head into chapter 12 now, 1 Corinthians. We did a little sidetrack. We did 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and now we're backtracking to chapter 12. So if you want to grab your Bibles out there in the pews and the chairs in front of you, you can do that with me. The words will also be on the screen. But before we get there, let's just spend a minute in prayer with the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are able to gather together, that we live in a country where we have this freedom. Freedom to talk about you, freedom to worship you, freedom to speak about the hard truths that you have for us. Father, as we come to this passage of Scripture, Lord, may we honor you with our thoughts and our processing. And Lord, we ask that you would challenge us where we need to be challenged. That we wouldn't come to your word expecting to hear nothing, but that we'd come to your word expecting to be moved. And may these words be yours and not mine, Jesus. Amen. So like I said, we've just come from a conversation of what it looks like to be doing communion together. And Paul, we use that passage often in communion services, so it's a familiar one. And then he tracks into this new space. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question, obviously they asked something, about the special abilities the Spirit gives us. I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All right, so you have this question. You want to know about the special abilities that the Spirit gives us, and he says, you know what, we need to come back to something even more basic before we get there. Just in case, in your worship, you think that these things are okay because you've come from a world, potentially, where it's incredibly chaotic kinds of worship, where whatever you think goes, let's be clear. That when you come into worship, the Holy Spirit of God that lives and breathes in you will never curse Jesus Christ. Don't ever mix that up because that will not happen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working and moving together as one. It will never be the case. They will curse the Son of God. So if that's something that comes out of your lips, that is something you need to stop and check in on. Because that is not a movement of God. And he says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is so clear. He gives us faith. He's the one that starts the conversation in us. He's the one that changes and moves our hearts. We're given this gift, but all we do is accept. So no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So two kind of things to process and to think about as you're going into worship and as you're talking about special abilities of the Spirit, let's make these clear. And then he moves on. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. It's interesting as we come to this conversation because that seems like a kind of a dumb moment, doesn't it? Okay, well, we all believe in God, so it's the same God that's working in all of us. How is that not just a thing? Well, I think when it comes to spiritual giftings, we have this oddly packaged idea that God says, okay, here's your spiritual gift of wisdom, and he walks over to you and gives you the gift and says, okay, take the gift, now go run. And we use our gift the way God wants us to do it, and we're all happy with the gift that we've been given, and it's how we work with our gifts. Except that that's not all what he means by spiritual gifting. It isn't a gift that he gives you and then says, go on, do your thing. I'll watch from here and see how it works out. No. The giftings that he's talking about, the gifting that God gives, is when we know and understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, when we surrender our lives to him, that the Holy Spirit of God moves in, takes residence in us, in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit, in our body. Giftings are God, as Ian says, leaking out of us. That's what they are. They're God's movement in who we are. God's movement in our personality. God's movement in the place that he's put us. God's shifting and morphing in us to bring him glory, to build the body. It's God doing God through us. Not God giving us a gift and saying, now go do. Do you see the difference there? It's huge. Because then whatever God wants to do in your life is a blessing, is a movement. Whatever God wants to do in someone else's life then is a celebration and watching what God brings out in that person. It changes how we feel about the competitiveness that happens with gifts. Well, I'm not as good as that person. Because it's what God does in each one of us. We get to celebrate what God's doing in someone else. And I think that's important as we go through the rest of this chapter to grab onto that. Spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I think that's the key. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? That one of the last prayers that Jesus prayed that is recorded, I think, in the book of John is this desire that we would be unified, that the way we would do life would be so noticeable to the cultures around us that people couldn't help but wonder, what's up with them? How do they make that work? Like, they're all so different from so many different backgrounds, from so many different ways of life, and yet they can gather together and do life together in ways we don't see anywhere else. prayed that the world might know who we were, who he was through us, and how we did unity, and how we connected together, that by our love, you would know Jesus Christ. So then all these gifts that we're given, all these outworkings of the Holy Spirit in our lives then serve so that we can help each other, so that we can build his body, so that we can be the embodiment of Jesus Christ on earth, not just as individuals, but in community. And through it all, it's the Spirit that empowers as he would choose. Not as we would choose, but as he would choose. Putting us together and knitting us together in such a way that all the gifts are present in the body. And Paul goes right to the body conversation. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. There's no greater equalizer on the face of this planet than the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't matter our background, doesn't matter where we're coming from, doesn't matter where we're going to or the life situation that we're in, the same Spirit, the same baptism embodies us all. Now, if you remember, Ian, when he started this sermon series, told us about this. You remember this? And we're all kind of like, what was that again? And in the marketplaces in Corinth, they would actually go and they would buy body parts, clay representations of parts of their body that were physically not well. And they would take them to the temple as an offering, as a way of saying, this is what needs to be fixed on me, and ask the gods to fix that on them. I was in Thailand when I was 19, and they did something very similar. They would buy a gold leaf, and they would put that gold leaf on their body where they felt like they wanted Buddha to enhance them. So on the mind for knowledge, on the heart for compassion, all those things, right? A physical representation of this thing that needed to be fixed. Well, it's into this culture then that Paul's been, he's visited, and so he's talking to them now about what body parts means. In the body of Christ, what does that look like? So he continues. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Like if your whole body was a toe, not super useful. We need our toes, for sure, but you don't want to be a toe. That's just strange. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And yet, we do that, don't we? I mean, we'd never admit we do that. We would never say that there's a certain part of the body we don't like, we don't want to see that here. But we might. Because maybe some things that the body does makes us uncomfortable. Or maybe the way the Spirit speaks in that space for that person is not what we do here. So you can do that in your home. Go ahead and do that there, but we don't do that here. We don't want to be that body, do we? That tells some parts of the body that they're not really welcome because of what they're gifted to do. We don't want to be the body that looks at someone that is calling us and we're getting off track and says, it's not okay, pull back, do something different. We also don't want to be the body that says, if we're moving, we got to head this direction, and the rest of the body says, no, we're comfortable where we are, we don't want to go anywhere. And thing is, how would we know whether what those people are saying are important? How could we process that out, do you think? Oh, maybe because we all have the same spirit in each one of us. Maybe if we stop and listen together and discern together what the Spirit is speaking, maybe we can work together to find that out. To allow the Spirit of God to put our body together here as He would choose. Not to limit Him and His expression of that, but to let Him go. And to learn to stop and listen so we can assess each other's directions and go together. Hearing God, the thing that we started last Tuesday, is an amazing opportunity. And for those that signed up, that's great. To learn to stop and listen to the Spirit of God and move as He would move. We don't want to say to somebody, we don't need you, because of the giftings they got that don't make us comfortable. We want to say, let's watch what God does in you. Then he goes on to say, in fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while some more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. It isn't a mistake how God put the body together, but it's also true that no one part of the body is more important than the other. I should not have pulled that forward. We're meant to be together the way we are. We're meant to be holding each other and accounting for each other and loving on each other, using our gifts to build into the body as it is. And when one part suffers, we suffer with them. And when one part is doing well, we rejoice with them. Because how cool is it to see the Holy Spirit of God doing something in someone's life? Like, that's the biggest joy we can do, is to see that happen and go, God, you're so good. Look at what you're doing in their world. But we also know that when one part is hurting, we need to move in and be there. The body, our own body, does that. Who's had one of those? Can you see that little hangnail right there? Now, in that case of where it is right now, that doesn't do anything, right? We may all have those. But if that little thing gets infected, oh my goodness, the whole body knows. It hurts, it throbs, you start to feel your heartbeat in it. Didn't even know I had a pulse in my finger right there, but apparently I do, because everything is infected and in pain. And the body sends stuff there to help it heal, to help it restore, to make it whole again. The very thing that we're called to do, when one part suffers, we don't walk away, we move in. And we love on, and we get us through it. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are the sum of the parts of God is appointed for the church. Some of the parts, definitely not an exhaustive list. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. But are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power of miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not! We're not all one body part. We all have different giftings, all different ways that the Holy Spirit of God leaks out of us to other people and to the ministry He's called us to. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. You want to know what you do with all this? Just ask God to do what He wants to do in your life. desire the gifts that he wants to put there. God's Spirit is absolutely the most incredible gift that we have ever been given. And it's amazing to see what God will do in your own life, and it's absolutely just as amazing to see what God will do in someone else's life. And to celebrate that, it should be our joy and our greatest delight to watch God work in the body of believers and to watch how he brings it all together and to be amazed at all the different people and the different ways that their personalities and his giftings through them contributes to the body. But like all things, the Holy Spirit of God is a respecter of our free will. That in some almost bizarre sense, God will never force us to do anything that we don't want to do. We can sense his movement, and we can stop him. We can hear the little bits he's asking us to do, and we can say, no, not from me, thank you. We can be so afraid of what other people think that we will not step into the places that he's calling us to. We can hold back our gifts because potentially they might be embarrassing. We don't know how they'd fit in, and so therefore we don't want to explore that among the body at the cost of ourselves, at the cost of the body, and truly at the cost of the mission that Jesus gave us to go into all the nation, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus said that, he didn't say that as in, here's your job, go do. Here's your gift, go do. God does not work that way. He said, go do, because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to give you the giftings, the abilities. I'm going to leak out of you in such a way that this mission I've given you is doable because I'm doing it through you. But it's all about surrender. And it's all about letting our stuff go before him. We hamper him and we will not forgive. We hamper him and we hold on to bitterness, grudges, old stories, things that we will not let go of. We trap the Holy Spirit of God into this little tiny corner because we're not comfortable with him being free. We don't want to be that people. We want to be the people that lets him go. Because when God moves, God owns the consequences and God does amazing things. Let's be that body. All of us are put together where we celebrate and cheer each other on. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask for your forgiveness. In the places that we've held on to things where we don't want to let it go, we know where you're calling us to let go. Lord, we want to be moved by you. We want to hear from you. We want you to be you in us. Whatever that looks like, it's going to be different in each one of us, God. And honestly, it doesn't matter as long as it's you doing you. Father, set us free. Use our response time even in this service, God, to hear from you and to let the stuff go that we need to let go so that you can move. We ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.